It's been great pleasure in the studio today to introduce the legendary Mr. Scruff. How you doing, Mr. Scruff?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Oh, wicked. Now, I've got to say, before we get into all this, to me, an absolute inspirational hero when it comes to music and DJing. To me, one of the greatest DJs in the world. So it's a great pleasure to have you in the studio today. I'd like to kick off first, really. Take it all back to the beginning where, you know, how did it all start for you?
I think musically, sort of my interest in DJing and buying and collecting records started in the early 80s, buying a lot of Madness records and specials, two-tone, stuff like that. Then getting into electro. Fortunately then, music was a lot less sort of pigeonholed. So if you played dance music in the 80s qualified as hip-hop, reggae, electro, early house music, disco, boogie. If you were a DJ in the 80s, you had to have your fingers in lots of musical pies and have a good knowledge about the different kinds of music that were around.
And did you always want to be a DJ as a kid? Was it something that you grew up at a very young age and thought, oh, this is something I always want to do?
Not really, no. I think DJing is something I fell into. I was never, you know, before the age of 11, DJs to me were people like John Peel on the radio and people like that. I was never really into club DJing because I was, you know, 11 years old. A lot of teenage lads do get into hobbies, and, you know, DJing was mine, really. So, you know, it was about being technically accomplished as a DJ, but also acquiring the knowledge of a record collector and enthusiast and fan. So it was a, you know, kind of two-sided thing, and together both of those things are very important to be a good DJ.
Did anything inspire you to actually make it a profession?
There wasn't really a particular inspiration that made me take it from a hobby into something I did for a living, because I'm still as much a fan of music as I ever was. It just happens that people pay to come and see me now. So, you know, I'm continually inspired by new records, DJs, music that I hear all the time, books, food, anything, you know, just general everyday inspirations.
You play so many different styles of music. Yeah, it's interesting to know whether if you've got a certain style of music that you actually really do love, or something, if you had to play one style of music out, what would that be?
I mean, that's a very difficult question. It's a bit like saying, you know, you've got 10 really good friends, you know, if you had to choose one to survive a crash or something, which one would you choose? It's kind of, I mean, I'm really into soul music. That's that touches on, you know, a lot of things that I'm into, but I'm into so much other stuff: reggae, jazz, house, disco, and for me, so many different kinds of music are interlinked that to me there's not really any such thing as particular genres of music, apart from in terms of things like this interview and classifying them. When I'm, you know, I think of music more in terms of a mood or a feeling I get from it, and that's how I combine music when I'm DJing. No, I'm not going to pick anything.
So was there a point in your career that you thought, hey, we've made it here? There was a break, you had a break, and this, things are changing here.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of very specific steps, I suppose. More to do with record releases. I mean, when Chicken in the Box came out about 10 years ago, that was kind of the first big record I did, and that was very popular, and I noticed, you know, more people getting into the music I made, but also I noticed I was getting more DJ bookings and that, and same with the Ninja album. But quite often, you'll put an album out, and a year later, you'll start getting the comeback from it, because people buy it, they take it home, play it to their friends play it to their friends, DJs play it, their audiences hear it, go out and buy it. So it's kind of, you put something out maybe a year after you've recorded it, and a year after that suddenly people come up to you going, oh, I like that record. So it's, you do an action, and it's so long before you actually get a general sort of swell of reaction to it that it's quite difficult to, you know, to kind of judge it, because in your mind that was 2 years ago when you did that tune, you're working on something else new. But you know, every tour, every album, it's kind of, it builds on what went before.
Just touch on production, and I'm just wondering, how did that all kind of start for you? Obviously it's a different ball game to get into the production side of things, so, you know, what made you decide to get into that, and how did it all come about?
I started in production through being a bedroom DJ and doing lots of tape edits, and then from that I used to do mixes using bits of drum machines and samplers and delay pedals and playing instruments over the mixes. So it was just something gradual. It was just an extension of DJing, and then it kind of grew off and sprouted.
How much is it samples and how much is it kind of live? How does it all fit together?
I'd say 10 years ago it was all samples. Now it's about 50-50 really. I'm working on my next album for Ninja, and that's a lot of fat breaks and loops, but then there'll be people coming to the studio playing over the top. Sometimes I'll take the samples away and it'll all be live, but then I'll chop up the live stuff. So I'm quite into that middle ground between kind of man and machine. You know, I'm not a live musician and I come from a DJing background, but I like to, you know, to kind of fuse the two. I enjoy working with musicians because that's something I can't do very well, and they enjoy working with me because I bring kind of my view to the table.
And how long do you normally find it takes you to write a track?
I do take a while, probably take about sort of 3 or 4 days for each track. It depends how much work goes into it, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, but I'm definitely not the fastest worker. I like frequency breaks.
So you've done a lot of wicked compilations over the years. How did the first one come about?
I think the first compilation was one for World Development Movement in about 1995, which is just a load of stuff. My Own Chicken in the Box was on there. After that, there was the Heavyweight Rib Ticklers compilation for True Thoughts, which was a compilation of reggae, but the stuff that doesn't really get onto other compilations, a lot of reggae made by non-reggae artists. After that, there was the Keep It Solid Steel mix compilation for Ninja a couple of years ago. Kind of an introduction to my style of DJing. Just released a Big Chill compilation. That's about it for my compilations, really.
So did the record company in the first instance, when you put the first one out, did they approach you or you approach them?
I mean, generally, all the labels I work with are friends, so it's normally something that comes out of, you know, having a chat and go, yeah, we'll do a compilation, and, oh, how about doing this? Yeah, that sounds good, and, you know, it works.
Kind of touched on the Big Chill. I know that's a favourite of yours. Is there a favourite gig you have in the UK that you like? Also in the world as well. I mean, in the UK, what would be your favourite gig or favourite place to play in the world as well?
I'd say in the UK, probably Manchester, my monthly residency there. I mean, that's amazing, just a pitch black basement with a killer sound system and, you know, lovely crowd. Abroad-wise, New Zealand's an amazing place to play. Vancouver in Canada, New York's really good, Chicago, Berlin. I don't know, same again, I'm so lucky getting to play all over the place and just seeing all over the world as people who are into just getting down to a good variety of music, and that's really encouraging.
I'll tell you what you need is someone to do a warm-up slot, right? Just so it takes the pressure off you. Get me in as a warm-up DJ, I'll come and board with you. I think that sounds wicked to
okay,
me.
Okay, can you fit in a record box?
Yeah, I'll do anything, mate. I'd say, on to the next question, anyway. Favourite festival?
I'd say two favourite festivals. One is WOMAD, which I think is the best festival I've ever been to, musically, organisation-wise. You know, the food's great, the toilets are good, the atmosphere there is amazing, and musically, you know, you're blown away. There's no, you know, kind of dodgy DJs playing party tunes or whatever. It's just the cream of music from all over the world. Big Chill's good as well. Same again, a big field full of nice people and some good music. Green Man's a good festival. There's loads of little ones. Best of all, you know, that's really come on. Just people doing what they do, doing it well and with a lot of humour. I think that's very important. But there's loads of good festivals. Probably, you know, there must be 20 or 30 in the UK that I've not been to. Yeah, there's loads of dodgy ones. All the big kind of mainstream dance festivals are hideous. They're just like going to, you know, kind of a ritzy club and, you know, Shiny Shirt Brigade and fights, you know what I mean? And loads of people off the face and listen to really terrible music. That's the equivalent of a townie night out, those big festivals, and you've got your little kind of underground.
Wicked, that's what it's all about. You heard it right there. Collaborations, you must have met some mad people over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I've not done too many collaborations. I mean, you know, notable people like Roots Maneuver and Brain Tax, people like that. Most of my collaborations are people I've either toured with or have been friends with for a while. I think it's important to know the people you're working with, just so you can kind of push it as far as possible, rather than going, oh, you know, you're a famous rapper, I've then asked you to do something different, or say, actually, I don't like those lyrics. You know, you've got to be pretty fearless in the studio and say what you think. Otherwise, you know, what comes out is a little bit polite or, you know, not as good. You've got to argue and kind of thrash something out that's, you know, that's kind of beyond what both of you could do individually. So, yeah, collaborations. I've got a few planned for the next album, but nothing's quite finished yet, so I'm a little bit reluctant to say, yeah, I'm going to be working with, you know, the Queen Mother and, you know, Freddie Mercury, because both of them are proving quite difficult to get hold of.
Yeah, I bet. So, I mean, is there anyone that's inspired you that you really love to work with in the future?
I'm quite careful about this, because all the people who inspire me by doing amazing music don't really need me to work with them, because they're doing they're doing great music by themselves. Yeah, I mean, there's thousands of people who inspire me that if I met them in a pub and we got on well with, we'd probably end up in the studio together, but I'm not really drawing up a wish list of, right, I want to work with Pharoah Sanders and I want to work with, you know, I don't know, Sly and Robbie. These are all great people. people, but they're all great by themselves, and I'm not sure whether I'd be actually be able to improve what they do, because, you know, they've been doing it for years and years, and I don't think I'd really be able to come up to scratch, you know, working with people of that calibre.
Who do you respect as a DJ?
There's loads. Giles Peterson, DJ Spinner, Rob Louie, Quantic, Northern Soul DJs, people like Keb Darge and Butch and Terry Jones and, you know, all the reggae DJs, people like Jar Shaka have been doing it for 25 years with, you know, no mainstream success. They've just been playing their own thing. And Jeff Mills, Norman Jay, tons of people all over the place. You know, I mean, all over the world there's DJs, whether they've been DJing for a few years or, you know, DJing for, you know, 30 or 40 years, people are sticking to the guns and doing their thing and getting their personality and their agenda across. And I think that's what makes a good DJ, really. As long as someone's playing from the heart and not just, you know, going, oh, I can't play that because it won't mix in. You know, all these kind of rubbish DJ excuses. If people are taking risks and playing music they like and creating a good atmosphere, then I'm constantly inspired either by legends or people who will be legends in 20 years' time.
Favourite tune of all time? Can we pin one on you?
There's a couple. I mean, Clear by Cybertron, Electro Classic, is probably one of my favourites because that started me DJing. You've got to have Freedom by Pharoah Sanders, another winner. I'll leave it at those two for now.
And any tips for up-and-coming DJs as well?
Yes, lots, but I'll just do a few. Play what you like, not what you think people like, because once you establish a style, then people come to hear what you play rather than just hassle you for requests. Don't play too loud. Most DJs play far too loud and make it sound distorted at the mixer. You know, if you're playing in a bar at 8 in the evening, play some mellow music quietly. People start to dance and you can turn it up a bit and creep it up. Don't be afraid to leave gaps. Mixing's not the be-all and end-all. Buy some good needles. Play a variety of music. Listen to other DJs and vice versa. And, yeah, relax and enjoy it. I think you should be a fan when you're DJing. Don't, you know, it's not necessary to kind of switch into DJ mode and go, well, actually, I like listening to The Cure at home, but because it's not 125 beats per minute and, you know, a 4-4 drum machine beat, I can't mix it in, therefore I'm not going to play it, you know. Most people don't need to listen to mixed music to, you know, to or a particular tempo in order to be able to dance and enjoy themselves. And people like being surprised as well. So, you know, whether it's a Birdie song or a bit of Chaz and Dave or some, you know, some jazz, you know, if you ever you're DJing and think, oh, I'm not sure whether to play this, play it. You know, if you clear the floor, cool, you can get people back. No one dies from hearing a record they don't like, and a lot of people, you know, will actually be very pleasantly surprised. You know, stick your neck out, take chances, never hold back on playing a record just because you think people won't like it.
That is exactly what it's all about. Last question then, plans for the future?
Carry on doing what I'm doing, I think. I never make plans because I always kind of... You keep learning, and your decisions on what to do next are generally based on, you know, what you've just done. And you go, well, that gig was great, but we could try that next time or whatever. And on tour, we learn so much every single time, you know, every time the production goes up, because you try something new, you go, oh, people reacted to it in that way, therefore we can try this time. You know, you're constantly coming up with ideas, and I like to be, I suppose, flexible enough to be able to constantly alter my approach. Music-wise, get my next album for Ninja done, get the next Solid Steel mix album done, get some sleep, and yeah, that's enough plans for me.
Wicked. Well, I've got to say, it's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and listen to the whole Mr. Scruff vibe anyway. Big thank you to Mr. Scruff tonight.